Ladies and gentlemen, there may be the odd cursed word or potential adult theme during this podcast. If you don't like that sort of thing, please turn off now. Waving everywhere, man. Waving everywhere, man. See every fucking square, man. This is Glasgow Fair, man. Well, here we go. It's a jubilant beyond Hampden Park tonight after Scotland's last gasp victory over Israel in the 423rd time of asking. Scott McTominay getting off the mark, and a very important goal it is, of course. Scotland now in their own hands to get that playoff place off to the Faroes soon. We are going to look back at the Israel game, and we're also going to look forward to the Faroes trip. Joining me, as always, are John McClay. How are we doing, John?
Good.
All ready to go?
Yep.
And, of course, Colin Brooke, who has a bit of a sore throat after yesterday. Do you, Colin?
Yep, struggling a bit, but I'm here.
Right, here we go. Well, boys, finally, a bit of dishing out some of our own medicine, a last-minute win in front of a full house, Hampden, and it went the right way for a change. Sum up your feelings after that, boys.
Yeah, that is just absolutely magic. I've never had a night at Hampden like that for quite a long time. Just brilliant to be at a full house.
You sounded like you never got to your bed till the early hours, Brookie.
It was very early hours. We definitely made the most of that, you know, for sure. But just brilliant to finally get that. I feel like we're making a habit of this. Being able to grind out results, it's really good. Brilliant.
And John, Israel, a team we've faced so many times, and they really been able to get the better. Great to get that monkey off our backs, really.
I thought in the end we thoroughly deserved to win a game. It would have been a right kick in the teeth, nay, to beat Israel for, I don't know how many times it's been new, but it feels like way too long since we properly beat them. So,
Buzzing. Deserved win though, John?
I think so. I mean, defensively, we'll get into it, I'm sure, but the two goals, soft goals to be given a while, but... we're on the day lucky to get a last minute winner, maybe, but hey, we'll take up.
Pushing for it. But Brookie, well deserved for you. Players' efforts rewarded.
Yeah, I think over the course of the game, definitely. Second half was definitely a much improved performance, attacking wise. We'll probably get into the details and just mistakes for the two goals, you know. Missing chances to clear our lines, fouls, etc. But I think we kind of make a habit of having to score three games to win every game. I don't know what to be there, but and I think last night it was just a case of we just need that result, and that was it. We got it deserved.
Aye. John, first goal, obviously early doors, Zahavi, as he has done against us before, but half decent free kick. But for you, Gordon, do you better or?
I think it was a very naive challenge for Hendry in the first instance. Really, really clumsy in the edge of the box. And then it's nae right in the corner, is it?
Yeah, nae at all. Brookie, benefit of the doubt? Or?
Yeah, I mean, the wall, it doesn't do you many favours. It goes right through the wall. It's nae up and over them. But annoy me with three mistakes in the lead up. Robbo was caught out of position with a long ball to start with. Yeah. Then Patterson's got to clear his lines and be better. And then, like you say, a really silly sort of diving in a rash challenge in a dangerous area. Yeah. So, you know, and if you give a boy like Zahavi a chance with sort of 20 odd yards, then you're asking for trouble.
That's it.
Can we go on to the free kick though? Boy lying on the ground, that's fucking
that's nonsense,
like,
isn't it?
Absolute drivel. Because the idea of that is that the WA jumps.
Aye.
So the WA's jumped and they've broken up. It's left a gap for a bat to go through.
Aye.
And may have unsighted Gordon. Who knows? But it's a fucking joke, that man. If somebody asked me to do that, there's no danger I'm lying down there.
Messi was at the last day, was he?
Nick Aaron. He can do it if he wants, but I wouldn't be doing it.
We were always telling him to jump.
Well, just stand your ground. To get in the fucking chin.
Aye.
But Messi did it, so if Messi is now lying in the ground of him for the kicks, it's fashionable. That's what I'll be thinking to do.
Ronaldo wouldn't do it, would he?
Definitely not.
No.
Robbo ended up picking up man of the match, I think, did he? So, yeah, agree with that? A captain's performance for him, driving the team forward.
I thought he played well. Second half, Gilmore came into his own. I thought he had a really good second half, but there was a lot of poor performances first half. Yeah, I don't think Gilmore did much in the first half, to be fair. But
people on Twitter were calling out Patterson. I noticed, get him off, why is he playing, sort of thing, after again, folk have been screaming for him to replace O'Donnell. Clark went with it. I think over the Hale game, it was proved to be a decent decision.
Yeah, what we actually need is we need to merge O'Donnell and Patterson together, because Patterson's attacking is obviously why he was in the team last night. He's just a threat going forward, but defensively, he's obviously still got a lot to learn. You can see at that level.
Yep.
And he had a shaky start, the same as like the Moldova game, a shaky start, but He grows into the games there. He proved as the game went on. But I thought doing that, our right hand side, him and McTominay in the first half, it was sort of like, and Solomon and that were exploiting that. I thought we looked, that was probably our weakest area. But in general, the defence, we had quite a few shaky moments. And as good as the second half was, attacking wise, Zahavi had that header. Mm-hmm. And I didn't ken where other defenders went up when he just. Just drifted away for Hendry. He's just seen a couple of steps off, and he had all the space in the world. And I thought defensively, we weren't as strong last night defensively as we have been under Clark.
And John, it's funny because we were laughing about in the group yesterday during the game and that, but it's amazing after how much we've slated him over the years, how much we actually missed big Grant Hanley.
The bear. I would have thought we'd ever have said that.
We're certainly eating humble pie on old Hanley, that's for sure.
happily eating humble pie. Hayes, he was a mess, I think, during the game, just that kind of no nonsense bit, which I think Hendry was a wee bit naive again for that header that Brookie was speaking about, Fraser Harvey. But also, probably didn't think he's the Ian to be the Ian in the middle of the three. But if you look at the back three, it's no wonder we're poor defensively, look at the back five, fair enough. Robbo, Tierney are top class, but Tierney's really a left back, playing centre half. McTominay's a midfielder, and Hendry's pretty young. Patterson's played 10 games for Rangers, so we kind of expect them to be kind of brilliant at this point.
We thought we might get McTominay in our sort of first choice midfield with McTominay, McGinn, and Gilmore, but no, back into the defence he was, and he. Good player in midfield, but showing a couple of times that maybe, you know, defensively positioning and things is lacking, just because it's Ney's natural position.
I think so. I think he's done well enough, though, that Clark trusts him enough. And he has got a pace that, and to be honest, I mean, if I was Cooper, I'd be raging. absolutely raging. I'm a captain of Leeds and I can't get a game for Scotland. But to be honest, I think he's honking. Like,
well, Leeds do concede for fun sometimes, and that was the problem of why they play, isn't it?
But if he's not getting a game, and kind of, well, McTominay, Hendry, and I probably is looking at it and thinking, I could play. Mm-hmm. But
Hanley's back in, though, is he, for Faroes? He was suspended, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's in the squad. Like.
McTominay gave away a silly foul for the second goal as well, free kick.
Yeah.
In which, another stupid mistake, which, I think
surely McTominay moves in the midfield for the Faroes.
Far does he leave it? McGregor was good enough, and maybe because he's coming off the back of injury, maybe again they'll just say like have a rest for the Faroes game. Maybe McTominay will move in, but I thought certainly second half the three in the middle were really good. So it'd be tough if one of them's got to miss out, I'd imagine.
John McGinn on the score sheet again. It was a cracking finish, wasn't it?
Aye, great goal. McCoist was absolutely loving it.
He was buzzing, aye. Nay, as much as at the end for McTominay, and you hear them in the background, getting absolutely mentally so much better than that prick Proven.
Andy Walker or something.
Coisty loves it. You hear them in the background, that's it, yes!
But I think he even looked up. He just came for a goal. Where's guy?
One touch, shoot your feet, boom, curled her.
It's a really good goal, actually. Good build up to it.
Robertson did well. When the link up with Adams, wasn't it?
And yeah.
Robertson had two assists last night. I thought he had an absolutely, apart from the part he played in the first goal, I thought he had a great game. Unbelievable cross as well. So he did well for the McGinn goal and then a unbelievable cross. So it was good to see Robbo producing that last night in the big game.
And we've got to maybe just quickly mention big Lyndon Dykes is apparently one of the worst seen at Hamden for a long time. Thought we were apparently kings.
He's just went up to try and smash it, I think, but he's kind of scuffed that a bit and it's went down the middle, but he did that in the last penalty he scored.
He just went under him, didn't he?
Aye.
I kind of see
get
him off pens.
Get him off pens.
Definitely. Kind of hear striker. I mean, most folk will say, you want your striker taking the penalties, but Lyndon Dykes, just flying through that. He can't even, he runs up, he's two penalties and he's struck the ball nicely at that.
He takes him off a QPR, I think, though.
He scored a few for them, although he's been in the team, I think. But, it's good to see Robertson. I mean, he was about a year ago under pressure for
a place starting
in the team,
to call for him out to in the end. And
I think the two of them are just working brilliantly going forward.
I think in the second half, Patterson and McTominay did similar things, I thought McTominay was getting forward and underlapping.
Aye, I think the reins were off a wee bit in second half. I think they were telling to go out and get a job done, so that was good.
You sent clips of Gilmore in the group today, Brookie, just fantastic second half.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Great little talent we've got in our hands here.
Oh, it's just a joy to watch. And you came away from the grun and you can't, you'd hit a good game. You'd say, who was our best players? And he'd be a name that most folk would be picking. But I didn't realise until I saw that montage that somebody put together. Mm-hmm. Just watch it. It was like 2-3 minutes, which is quite a long time for one player to have the ball in one half of FIFA.
Especially for Scotland.
Unbelievable.
But John,
especially for Scotland.
It's not just tippy-tappy stuff, is it? It's he's putting his boot in and he's making tackles and that. He won a penalty. He can't. He was going to get hit.
He took in for the team because it was coming. Aye, actually,
some tackle for the boy.
It's a captain and
captain
flipping.
Whether it was in the box or not, I'm not sure.
I think it was, but I think if a ref had given a free kick, it wouldn't have been overturned. But yeah. I will maybe come to VAR.
VAR, there's a lot of people come on this show in its normal guise and say, get rid of VAR. And we've probably said it ourselves, but it certainly came to Scotland's rescue yesterday. And rightly so, Brookie. Dykes' goal.
Yeah, there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. I mean, nobody had a clue in the stadium. And everyone's, what's going on there? What's that for? Fucking unbelievable. So obviously it was the right decision in the end. But I mean, that was the kind of thing that you could just would have tripped Scotland up in the past. VAR, Oral Boots, Kent.
You look back at so many incidents, Italy, Czech Republic, that spring to mind, certainly, that can have cost us places, basically.
Can you see the... absolutely. For the Dykes goal, the boys went down, clutching his face. He was about a foot away from his face. Can that's what bought the foul.
Mm-hmm.
But it just looks like a complete knob on the on a replace from the VAR. Can I give a goal? He was doing for ages of that.
Great ball and great finish for Dykes, really, on the sort of flying karate kick.
Again, if you look at it, his foot never really gets even like above his own sort of waist height.
The boy's diving. The boy's almost on the ground by the time he's connecting.
I think if the boy had been made a favourite to win a header, and he's again, it could have been dangerous, but he wasn't near him. It was a definite goal.
Aye.
Yeah.
Now, boys, Hampden hasn't been full for a long time. The atmosphere, electric. But, Brooke, you describe the moments when the ball hits McTominay and goes into the back of the net.
Oh, it was just pandemonium. it was body. There was folk on the floor. There was folk for an hour atop of you. It was. It reminded me of when we beat France. Remember when Caldwell scored goal?
Yeah.
It was like a zoo, and just but the whole day, like in the pub and in the shed before it,
it was like an away game
in the pub. It was just brilliant. Like I say, it's a long time since I've had a day like that for Scotland. It was magic.
We kind of had a sneer at Hampden's fall. We were struggling to get tickets, etc. And usually, you can get on a day. We've been at games for us, been 12,000 folk at Hampden, and it's been honking, but. To see that, absolutely brilliant. There's no hard feelings to those fair weather fans attached. That's what we need every game. Hampden absolutely bouncing. And the players obviously reacted to it and kept going right to the end.
I'm not sure if we would have went on and won a game if it had been a 12,000. Just there's been so many games in the last 5 years probably that it's been demoralising and doing to Hampden. Keenan, you're getting what shit on the pitch and not even here.
15,000 fans and 10,000 of them are Bairns.
And the fans stuck we the team even from when it won down, and then we got the equaliser and the place is jumping in, like it felt like 30 seconds later they've got a second and you thought, oh, can they kill it? But the fans stuck we the team, and I think, and I kind of thought because it's 5 o'clock kickoff and everybody's pissed in the pub or if the reasons are for, but it was great. The fans never chucked it, and I think that made a big difference.
Good. It was interesting to hear John McGinn's comments today, or just after the game that he made. I think, did he win his 39th cap? And he said it's taken him 39 caps to see Hampden fall. He said it was well worth the wait, but he was quite surprised it's taken that long.
That's poor.
COVID's obviously been a factor in that, but he was playing a long time before that. But he says it's an experience that he'll never ever forget.
I tell you,
didn't he fall at a rush where he scored? We lost 2-1.
Obviously, wasn't
there? I kind of mind Hampden. I properly fall since maybe
England,
and I wasn't there. That top bit, Keenan, the fit of our stand, it is. It's hardly ever got fans in it.
Fair about Che Adams, obviously, the shining light of the Euro, just before the Euros, and a lot of pressure on him. He's not really stepped up to the plate, really, is he? I didn't think he had a great game yesterday before he got hooked for Christie. And Christie's in a bit of form, doing sooth. I thought he might have started. I think we'll see him start against the Faroes.
Possibly.
He's not really... I think we spoke about it in the last pod. There's never really been a great chance for him. Maybe that's partly he's not getting in the right place, or maybe it's not his job, because Clark, obviously, although we're playing two up top, is he being asked to... He's in, it's got a link up. Dykes is just the three up there to knock about to a bit. It's probably not quite as well as fit we would have hoped.
Right, Steve Clarke, another one. We spoke about Robson being under pressure. Steve Clarke had been under a wee bit of pressure for the last run of games. He's certainly vindicating himself with his selections and his tactics, and obviously said something at half-time to get them going.
I think he said if you're hoping to lose, you're going to boot it in the right way or something like that. But no, he's a man. We are, I think, just timing's perfect. We've managed to get a hold of him at the right time when we needed someone like him. He doesn't seem to be fazed by anything. I think that rubs off on the players.
Aye.
He's all got level-headed comments. He seems mm-hmm. calm. He seems relaxed. And he's kind of, well, you hear the boys talking about the club atmosphere, which obviously him and his back mm-hmm. fostering, but also he's getting us to be a side. I think Michael Stewart was speaking about this. We're now sort of getting a habit of churning out results, which in international football, you'd always rather be lucky than good. And I think he's got us doing whatever needs to be done. He seems to have a plan, so he's got my backing.
Well,
for now, that's for sure.
Guys, I've just here. We're going to get a special guest on in a minute because what I want to play the Pharaohs. Obviously, we're gearing up to fly out there tomorrow to go and watch the game. And one of the Pharaohs starters is coming on to join us, Oddmar Pharaoh, who I've done a podcast with before. Going to give him a quick phone. He's going to give us a bit of insight into what's going on in the Pharaohs camp and a potential banana skin, because we've been here many times before, boys doing well in a group and go to Georgia or Belarus or something and throw it all away. So. Let's see. We'll get him on anyway. Give him a phone.
James.
Hi, Oddmar. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, good. You're on with myself and my brother John and Colin as well. Brookie are my co-hosts for us Scotlandians.
How you doing?
Okay. Hi. Good. How are you all?
Hi. Good.
You probably played against John actually in the juniors. He played for Devonside for many years.
Yeah, no. I was just saying maybe he was playing in that infamous game.
Yeah, he was just saying that when you disconnected.
I don't know what, we lost 5-3 or 5-4 or
6-4, I think it was like, four, you guys were winning 4-1 at half time and then 6-4 some game.
Well, my welcome back to the show. It's great to have you on, and thanks for coming on so late in the evening as well.
Oh, no trouble at all. It's good fun.
We're not trying to deliberately make you tired before the game. So, we're obviously flying out tomorrow morning. That's why we're doing this tonight. Looking forward to travelling out to the Pharaohs, our first time for all of us. So, what have we got to look forward to out there in Tórshavn?
It depends what you're looking for on a football trip. I guess you're looking for bars and places to go, good places to get some nice drinks, and there's plenty of those in Tórshavn for sure. You wouldn't find a lot of those places where the national games used to be played.
No.
But in Tórshavn, it's got a very very good nightlife. You wouldn't guess that Tórshavn only has about 20,000 people living there, but it's got a good nightlife. And if you have a free half day or a free day, then you can rent a car and go and see the beautiful nature that the country has to offer. It's
That seems good.
I'm told it's like a compressed kind of nature. Like you don't have to drive very far to see amazing stuff in
That's
the country. It's such a small place. So
brilliant. So looking forward. Looking back to the game, the Faroe Islands have been certainly improving over the last wee while. I think we spoke about it last time, and you ran Denmark close in the last group of games. And are you looking to be the party poopers for Scotland, who are kind of on a roll at the moment?
I mean, to be honest, then the group is the way that Denmark seem to be clear favourites. They've sort of got it home already. And personally for me, then I would obviously love to see Scotland qualifying for a finals myself. But on the day, we're usually going to be the underdogs, and to take points away from any of the other teams mm-hmm. in the group would be fantastic for us. I mean, we've got four against Moldova so far, mm-hmm. and any extra points that we can get would be fantastic for us. So, Cymru against Israel or yourselves, then I'm not too worried on match day. But
go for
deep
Israel.
Down inside, deep down inside, then I'm really hoping Scotland qualify. So
brilliant.
I was just looking at the. I never actually got to see the highlights of the Austria game, Oddmar, but I noticed you picked up an early booking in 6 minutes. Did you?
A wee marker left, was it?
Friend of mine wrote to me before the game's even finished as well. I saw it on my phone, and he's like, "All right, 6 minutes gone. That's early start." And then maybe that had a bit part to play in my substitution after 70 minutes as well.
Because, I saw you got booked and hooked, so we were hoping that you weren't going to be injured for this because you've obviously missed the game at Hampden through injury, didn't you?
Yeah, and I did pick up a knock actually in the same incident when I got my booking.
Oh, no.
And I think both those things. Played a part in me being subbed, and it was with the Scotland game in mind that we try to spare. Few of our defenders have got a couple of knocks, and okay. Most of us are on a first booking, so it just needs another booking, or for me in this case, a second in that game to have a suspension. So we wanted to just make a tactical sub there, I think.
So can you let us into the team news? Are you going to be starting the game?
I'm sure I could tell you all the names of the guys who are most likely going to be starting, but it probably won't help you anything.
who are you as a centre-half? Who are you scared of going up against, but who might give you sleepless nights, if anyone? We're not exactly blessed.
In the Scotland squad, like you said, I was in the stand last game, and I think it was Che Adams' first game.
Okay, yeah.
And when he popped up for Southampton, I thought I could see a few good characteristics in him. He seems to be a big, strong guy, but also with a fair bit of pace. And personally, that's usually what I try to use in my for my characteristics. So somebody who would match me and overpower me in all of my strengths is probably a bit of a nightmare for me. And I think Che Adams is fills the... fills the book on that part. So Che Adams would, I'm sure, be a very difficult one to wrestle and tussle with. So
Faroes must be looking at Scotland and thinking this is definitely a chance for a point.
Yeah. I mean, we're an optimistic team, I would say, and except for maybe your Portugals and your Spains, when you have to really look yourself in the eye and say, all right, listen, there's probably not going to be a point or a victory in this game. But bar the teams, maybe the top 8-10 teams in Europe, usually you're looking at, you have to go into the game thinking that there's a good chance of getting at least a point. So, even before a game against Scotland, before a game against Israel, before a game against Austria, and even for us, because Denmark's our so-called big brother, we went into that game also thinking, listen, we're going to go in here and we're just going to give 100% and see what happens, see how close we can get. And against Denmark, we were very, very close.
So close, I know.
It's just a set piece, and nobody would have expected that, especially not the Danes. And and we proved to ourselves that that's how far it can go if we have a good day. And maybe the opposition has a little bit of an off day, then you never know. We hit the bar and missed a subsequent massive chance, and that would have given us the lead in 66 minutes. And after that, they would have got frustrated and thinking, oh my God, we're behind against the Faroe Islands. So you just go into that game hoping for one of those days and hoping that the pressure gets the better of the opposition, because usually the pressure isn't that high on ourselves to deliver anything except for what we have, which is 100%.
That Denmark game, is it almost worse? Were the boys gutted how close you were to lose that set piece goal, or did you come away with that full of confidence, head held high?
Yeah, the immediate feeling is, oh my God, so close. Mm-hmm. And the whole time you're in the changing room and the shower afterwards, and then the ice bath, because you've got a game in a couple of days and you've got to get back up on the horse. But after maybe about 12, 24 hours, then... and you analyse the game and you look back at how many good things, good actions, team solidarity and commitment that we showed, then later on you're able to look at each other and say, listen, that was a really good performance, because I mean, Denmark have wiped the floor with the other teams in the group at times. So, so at some point, then you have to say, like, what's that?
They wiped the floor with Scotland in the first half in Copenhagen as well.
It was 2-6 for sure.
Yeah, well, we've still got to go there in place, so we hope.
That's a tell you want to pull up your second booking stuff against Scotland then.
The last thing for me, Oddmar, me and James have finally gotten a call up for Scotland for this game. It's for the fans team.
The Tartan Army Select are playing against the Faroe Islands fans team. Are they any good?
Are you kidding me? I didn't even know that they were doing that kind of stuff. That's
I think
amazing.
It's in a pitch next to like the stadium.
Yeah, we're playing just across the road from the stadium, I think, in the morning of the game.
Okay, well, there's three pitches in that direct vicinity, and one of them's just been, actually, they've all just been laid. So you'll be playing on a great surface, that's for sure.
When I'm at me any better.
there's one pitch.
Yeah, go on.
There's one pitch that doesn't have a stadium around it. One pitch that does have a smaller stadium around it. That's where the two Torshavn and club teams play. And that's the team I played at that stadium for 11, 12 years.
I'll tell you,
switching to the other team I played for.
I've got the details here. The venue is Gundadalur Stadium. I probably said that pretty well.
Yeah, but that'll be the one where HB and B36 play, where my old club plays. So,
brilliant.
No, that'll be good. And like you said, it's a stone throw from the stadium.
Yeah.
The national stadium.
So me and James only got a call up because there's not many Scotland fans going to the game.
Yeah.
But
there's
like,
not.
Are Faroes fans likely to be?
Oh, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think usually we get fair play or some kind of prizes for being the most
nice,
the best behaved.
Oh, well.
And all those kind of things, like you won't experience any hooliganism or anything like that. And it's just a vibrant bunch of guys who will sing the players' songs and the national anthem from the first minute to the 90th minute. If we're 2-0 ahead or 8-0 behind, they'll be singing no matter what. And it's just about having a great time for them.
Sounds familiar.
Oddmar, I was just wondering, we don't often get to talk to sort of full internationalists, so just for us sort of football fans, what's the programme like for tomorrow? What are you doing the day before an international game? Is it sort of working on set pieces, or have you got a bit of downtime? What kind of stuff are you going to be doing?
Well, tomorrow we actually haven't looked and analysed the Austria game, so I'm sure we'll spend some time analysing the Austria game tomorrow. And we'll have one training session tomorrow, which will be with medium to low intensity-ish, where we'll go out and do some tactical and strategic training. And like you said, train a few set pieces. Then on maybe during the night, then we'll start to focus on Scotland and the way Scotland play it. Or whoever the upcoming opposition is. That'll usually be match day minus one for us.
And more importantly, on match day plus one, do you get a night out after the game, or how will that look for you, and can we join?
I'm sure a few of the lads will certainly go out.
Uh-huh.
And we usually go up to the hotel, we have a great meal, usually a really nice steak or a burger or something at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And all the formal speeches, they will be done. And if we have any debuts, which we have at least one on this trip, then the players have to sing a song.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
An initiation kind of thing. And
nice.
Once all of that is done and all the beer and the wine that's been served up at the restaurant has been drunk, then... players like me will go home to their families, and I'll go and see my son now. If you go back maybe 5 years, I would have taken a trip down to town, but then I'll go home to my wife and my son, and I'll relax. But I'm sure if you go into town and go to some of the places, and if you recognise or know any of the faces of the football players, you might see a few of them in town afterwards. Then it's all the guys are free to do as they please.
I'm sure we could swing it with your wife to come and join us for one as payment for doing the podcast. you mentioned steaks and burgers there, but this will be controversial with our Greenpeace element of our listeners, but I hear that some of the delicacy is puffin and whale meat. Is it worth us giving it a go?
Puffin has been, how do you say, it's been... we've not been killing or serving puffin for a number of years because we track very efficiently the population numbers of the various species that are native to the Faroe Islands. So puffin it's not been on the menu for a number of years. But I remember trying it as a child. And that was a fantastic delicacy. Uh-huh. I haven't tried it for a number of years. And if you manage to get your hands on some whale, then I would absolutely recommend it.
Is it quite widely served?
I think a lot of households have it in. And it's just the way I would recommend that you have it is like a beef jerky kind of thing. They dry it and they cut it into small slices. And it has a fantastic texture and tastes just like beef jerky.
Nice.
So I would definitely recommend that you try
hunt some down. And if we find a black market with puffin, we'll let you know.
I hope you don't, because you shouldn't be able to.
Brookie, have you got any more questions there? Brookie's not actually with us. He's on a different line today. So he's struggling a bit after celebrating too much on after the game.
Just a bit. Yeah, I just wonder, Oddmar, am I right in saying you've got one international goal so far?
Just
wondering if there's any, should we get down to the bookies and put some money on you getting your next goal against Scotland? Is there a chance?
Well, I got my first goal not long ago, and I missed an absolute sitter in the game against Moldova as well. So and that's not long ago. So I mean, chances aren't that far between. And certainly, if you would like to, then I would absolutely love to score against Scotland. But one thing's for sure, I'm going to be singing both of the national anthems before the game as well. So it's not going to be out of spite that I score. But I'm obviously always trying to score, and if I score against Scotland, that would be very special.
Could we pin you down for a celebration if you score?
I wouldn't know what to do. I don't score so many goals, and usually I'm just a very, very calm guy and focused on the game. So I'm not a big celebrator. So
I want the full bent.
I celebrate more when other guys score. I'm usually happier then.
A Klinsmann or something.
Klinsmann
like
would be classic Klinsmann.
I did. I had one more question. I came over to watch a game, Faroes versus Scotland. Must be about 15 years ago now, and we went to Toftir, you know, the one up in the hill. It was really windy. I think it was a 2-0 win for Scotland. I think Sean Maloney scored a free kick, I remember. That was always seemed to me like a bit of an advantage, that sort of we park up there with the weather and the elements and stuff like that. And now you're obviously in a new developed stadium. Is there something lost there? Not playing international games up on the hill anymore.
In my opinion, I think the only thing that's lost is that nostalgic feeling of the away team coming and the conditions being against them with the swirling wind and the cold rain and then maybe 2-3 degrees just above zero. Don't get me wrong, it's terrible for away teams, and especially your teams coming from southern Europe, coming up there to play in that kind of absolute Viking hailstorm. But it's not nice conditions for us to play in either.
Nobody likes a wind, Brookie. That's a honking question.
And for me, I think the new stadium, and you'll see when you're at the game, it's been The one stand has been built since in the last couple of years. It's just finished. There's been a lot of work going on the stadium, and it looks really nice. It's really modern, and we've got a new pitch laid in the summer, which is, as far as AstroTurf goes, it's absolutely fantastic. And it allows us as players now to play a kind of football which more and more looks like the football that you'll see on TV, you know. And I think the timing of it has come at a good time when more and more of our players, our squad, are going abroad to play professional football, and they come back with their professional experience, and it has boosted the performance of the national team, and only made us play better football. And you'll see us more consistently having 50% or more ball possession in a lot of our home games. Brilliant. I'm not saying that we're going to have that against Scotland, but I'm sure 60. That relocating and doing these things the way that they should be done it's made it a lot more attractive for us to play for the national team and made us play better.
Yeah,
brilliant. Well, Omar, I think... the Tartan Army are going to be absolutely jumping if there are a win against Israel, and off the back of a win against Austria as well. I think the people in Tórshavn are going to have a good few days with the Tartan Army, a friendly bunch. I think there'll be a lot of money put over the bars, so hopefully we all get glowing reports. But what kind of weather can we expect out there? Is it going to be cold one for us?
I mean, cold. It's usually not much colder here than it is in Scotland or Aberdeen. The weather usually follows a bit. We might be unlucky and have some more wind than we're used to in Scotland. But actually, for the last five internationals that we've played in Tórshavn, the weather has been really fantastic. The wind has been up and down, but usually on match day, cross fingers, it's been really good.
That's fine, because when I like the wind up our kilts, that's... Brilliant. Well, have you got anything to add there, John?
No, it's been good to speak to you, Oddmar.
Thank you very much for coming on and speaking to us ahead of the game. And if you score, we'll be the three guys in the Scotland end cheering.
Oh, likewise. Well, you can text me your seat numbers and I'll come over and give you a celebration if I score.
Nice.
Well, a sign made for you. Jumping at the Scotland crowd after you score would be an interesting one.
That would make
you
TV
very popular.
Kind of guarantee you get back out, but it'll be good TV.
Maybe go viral.
Well, all the best. I hope you play well individually, but I hope we scrape it. Go and beat Denmark.
We'll do our best.
Thank you very much.
No trouble. Take care.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you later. Bye.
There we go, Oddmar. Nice guy.
Sound boy, yeah.
Really sound. Obviously, I'd interviewed him before, and he's been pretty helpful with one or two things. So
sounds like one of them few footballers that have a brain as well.
Well, must have been his time in the North Region Juniors.
Oof.
Well, boys, we've been a bit longer than we said we would, so sorry we're keeping you awake there, Brookie, but we'll go with predictions and probable lineups for Euros. We'll get to see a few changes.
I'd be amazed if a Donald doesn't play. Donald in. I think Hanley will just come in. I actually think he might drop Gilmour and
keep
play
him rest.
In the middle.
I think we might see McGregor drop just because he's coming back for injury. I wondered if he would maybe get arrested. But to be honest, Clark's not one for making big changes, irrespective of the...
I think
he kind of likes to keep it
playing the best team available. Just get it done. Yeah. I would probably pick Christie in for Adams.
Yeah, Christie did well when he came on, and he can take a penalty, which is always, I think we're looking for somebody to do that now. So, I think maybe you're right. I think Hanley will definitely come in, possibly Stevie O'Donnell, maybe there'll be two changes.
Dykes will maybe get a rest, and judging by what Oddmar was saying there, we should maybe send that little clip to Clark.
Yeah.
Dear. Right, fit about predictions before we go, boys.
I think it's going to be quite a cagey kind of game. Like,
1-0.
Aye, probably. 1-0, 2 at a stretch.
I think we'll get 2-0.
Yeah. I tell you, when Stevie Clark's the manager,
Stevie Carter's the manager, just bet your money on Scotland 1-0 every game. Oh, it's going to come in more often than not. But I'll take any win. I'll take anything.
We just need a win to keep a run going. That's and it. It should secure a playoff almost with it.
I think we need to. Far. I think we need to win against Moldova as well. I think three. Yeah. I think two wins will get a second place guaranteed, isn't it? Without having to beat Denmark, is that right?
Yeah. Aye, and you would have snapped his hand off for that at the start of the group second place without having to bother of getting anything for Denmark at home. That's definitely a pretty good position. So we'll take that. But it's Scotland and. It's just you just fear again one of these two games coming up. We just need to win them. Something's going to happen, isn't it? Surely, no. Hope no. But it wouldn't be the Scotland way if we did it the easy way.
That Moldovan team beating Real Madrid. You just think, ooh, I think only four or five of them are actually in the Moldova squad. I think the boys bankrolling them has brought a lot of foreigners in. But you just look at that and think, oh shit.
That'll be a sticky game for us over here. I think we'll probably manage to. I mean, we were fairly comfortable at home against the Faroes at 4-0. So I expect us to hear enough about us to get that. But I am pretty worried about Moldova away, I must admit. So, but let's get Faroes out of the road first.
Hey, let's be optimistic. We're on the back of a good run. We're flying out tomorrow. Buzzing for it.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Right. Cheers, boys. Right, we're going to wait our beds now. Let's get a sleep in before a flight to Tórshavn tomorrow. We'll be back probably in between or after Moldova and Denmark games. We have an update. Looking forward to the playoffs, hopefully. It's maybe being optimistic. That's bye from us. Bye from John.
Bye-bye.
And bye from Colin.
See you later.
Go out your bed, man.
I need it.
Cheers.